lose weight. Amberen restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Amberen eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply, free. Call 1-800-727-6808. That's 1-800-727-6808. 1-800-727-6808.
A settlement that BP is hammering out with victims of the massive Gulf oil spill finally provides a system for monitoring health concerns and compensating people whose illnesses are found to have been linked to the disaster. Government and university doctors studying locals' complaints haven't found significant evidence of spill-related illnesses, but problems years from now remain a question mark. The GOP candidates have begun the final push to Super Tuesday. Correspondent Sagar Magani has more on that story.
Rick Santorum tells Fox he's looking forward to the field thinning, leaving just him and Mitt Romney.
Hopefully this race settles out and we'll get a chance to go one-on-one.
Saying right now he and Newt Gingrich are splitting the hardline conservative vote that could beat Romney. As for Gingrich, he's looking for a comeback here in Georgia, but tells NBC all the rivals will eventually unite behind the nominee.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Today, most people are more likely to get a pay cut than a cost of living raise. But I have good news for you. You can build your own golden parachute. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby, and I think you'll find that the three-step plan home business system is a great solution to money worries. You can add to your income in your spare time. For information, go to 3-STEP-USA or call 800-480-2102. 800-480-2102.
New York City's Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says his department's monitoring of Muslim college students has helped lead investigators to very dangerous individuals. With more on that story, here's correspondent Julie Walker.
According to a detailed speech delivered by Commissioner Ray Kelly during a Fordham Law School alumni event, the NYPD's monitoring of Muslims is not only legal, but has prevented terror attacks. He also said, "We go where the leads take us," pointing out that the bomb used in the 93 attack on the World Trade Center was assembled in New Jersey. Kelly said anyone who suggests the NYPD's surveillance program is not legal has either not read or misunderstands the department's guidelines about its intelligence activities.
But New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says the disturbing part of the NYPD secret surveillance of Muslims across the Northeast is the apparent lack of interagency cooperation.
What bothers me is that they seem to have abandoned the key lesson from September 11th. Which was we should be sharing information with each other.
An investigation is underway in New Jersey where a pharmacy dispensed breast cancer medicine to children. Correspondent Ed Donahue brings us more.
In a statement, CVS Caremark says it is deeply sorry for the mistake at a pharmacy in Chatham, New Jersey, outside Newark. The company admits it improperly dispensed the breast cancer drug tamoxifen instead of chewable fluoride tablets for children.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eglin's Best. In the world of eggs, Eglin's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eglin's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eglin's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eglin's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eglin's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the...
Welcome to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel. You're listening to your home for serious talk about animals. And recently I had a great opportunity to visit the Born Free USA Primate Sanctuary that's down in the south part of Texas, 1.5 hours by car south of San Antonio. And I'm going to bring you right from location what we discovered down in that sanctuary. Hello, we are at Born Free USA Primate Sanctuary. We are about 1.5 hours southwest of San Antonio, and we are here on the grounds with Tim Ajax. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm just great, and I want to thank you for allowing us to visit your premises. It's not open to the public, and you are going to tell us all about what you do here.
That sounds good. Glad to have you.
Okay. So, why don't you please describe what we're looking at now, because it's really a quite captivating and interesting scene.
Well, there's a number of what we term semi-natural enclosures that we're looking at here, three of them specifically. And these are large sectioned enclosures, about 80 feet long and 40 to 60 feet wide. And these specific enclosures are designed and built for our monkeys who cannot be released into a more normalized environment, for instance, our larger 56-acre enclosure. And the reason these animals can't be released is that they're victims of the exotic pet trade. They've been used for entertainment, and they've been utilized for research. And because of all the things that occur to them from a very early age, they're really psychologically damaged. They don't work well with other monkeys. They haven't learned proper monkey etiquette, so to speak. And so they have trouble integrating into a larger group. So our focus at that point is to try to find them individuals that are compatible. And sometimes that's a trial and error process, but we always like to get them with other monkeys. That's one of the main focus for these animals who cannot be released out into the larger enclosures.
Which types of monkeys do you have here?
Well, we predominantly they're all macaque species of one kind or another. Most of the monkeys here are Japanese macaques, or sometimes referred to as snow monkeys, and they're all descendants from the original Arashiyama troop that came over from Japan in 1972. Then we have other species of macaques, such as rhesus macaque, pigtail macaque, Java or long-tail macaque, and then we also have 14 baboons and 4 vervets.
Tim, tell us about the history of this sanctuary.
Well, the sanctuary actually started off years ago in 1972, and at that point it was not a sanctuary. But originally what had occurred was there were Japanese primatologists who had been studying the Japanese macaques or snow monkeys in Arashiyama since the mid-1950s. And what had occurred is they found it very difficult to study the monkeys because the monkeys were staying well hidden in the forest. So the Japanese primatologist, and bear in mind that primatology was in its infancy at that point, started provisioning the monkeys and feeding them so that they could get to know them better and get to identify them as individuals. And then once they identified them as individuals, that, of course, made it much easier for them to study them. Once that occurred, the population started growing. The monkeys lost their fear of humans, and after a period of time, the troop actually split in two. And one part of the group, called Troop A, went down into the suburbs of Kyoto and started causing problems for residents. And, of course, the reason they did was because humans had socialized with them. And at that point, the Japanese government was getting a lot of complaints, and there was talk that they were going to move in and destroy those animals. There were also, at that time, there were several American students over there studying, and so a plan was hatched to see if those monkeys couldn't be brought over to the United States.
Okay, it seems like a good enough idea at the time.
Certainly, and certainly a compassionate alternative to simply going out there and destroying the animals. Originally, they had found an island off of the coast of Georgia, I believe, and that's where the monkeys were going to go. Well, that fell through at the last minute, and they ended up securing a ranch down in deep South Texas near Encinal. And so they went further with it. They gathered up all the troop. They trapped them. Some 150 monkeys, and they got them on an airplane, and the Japanese government flew them out to Hawaii. And that was kind of an interesting sidebar, because they didn't want U.S. involvement, or didn't want students there seeing direct involvement with these monkeys, because they were protesting the United States' involvement in the Vietnam War at that point. So they got them out under their own cover, got them to Hawaii, and then they were picked up there and flown over to South Texas. It took several years for them to get established. There was some mortality at the beginning, as these monkeys, you know, had to learn a whole new environment. They hadn't come from any type of environment even similar to this heat and dry and rattlesnakes and coyotes and bobcats. And unfortunately, the man who owned the ranch died after a couple of years, and his wife no longer wanted the monkeys on their place. So at that point, a young woman who was studying them was able to get them moved to a ranch not far from Dilley. Then after a period of time, the owner of that property no longer wanted the monkeys, and so then they decided, well, let's form a sanctuary. And so they purchased the property here outside of Millet, and that property was purchased in large part due to a fundraiser from Wayne Newton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a big fundraiser for him, big concert, and they used that money to purchase the property here. That was around 1992, I believe, and in 1996, I think they actually started moving monkeys here into experimental enclosures. And then in 1998, Animal Protection Institute became involved. And then Born Free merged with Animal Protection Institute in 2008, and we've had it ever since.
Tim, what's your main work here? What's the mission of this sanctuary?
Well, the main mission is to provide permanent care for these animals in a very natural setting, to rehabilitate those that are victims of the exotic pet trade, entertainment, and research trade, and get them with other monkeys and really improve the quality of their life. And that's what we're really about here, is about the quality of life. And so that's our main mission here, and we hope to be doing this for a number of years. And I say that, but at the same time, it's also a little sad. We would prefer to be out of business. And what I mean by that is we wish there wasn't a need to continue to rescue these animals, because they would never need to be rescued in the first place, because they wouldn't find themselves in the situations they do.
Are you currently receiving new animals? How many do you have here, and what's the population like?
Well, we have over 530 primates here right now. The majority of those are comprised of the offspring from the original Arashiyama troops. And then, of course, then we have a very good number of ex-pet, ex-research, and ex-entertainment animals. And right now, we're involved in rescuing 113 primates from a sanctuary in San Antonio that went bankrupt and closed their doors. And those 113 primates are the last animals left on the property. So, coincidentally, I'm signing the final contracts today with the contractor. Construction's going to begin within the week. And we're hoping to see those animals down here within the next 4 to 6 months. 112 different macaque monkeys and one baboon.
So how does that happen? What happens to a facility with all good intentions whereby it can no longer take care of its animals?
Well, you know, in this particular case, I'm not sure of all the details. You know, like any nonprofit organization that receives no tax dollars, it can be very difficult, and Born Free is fortunate to have a lot of supporters, and of course we always need more supporters, and you know, we want to make sure that money is put to good use, that we're honoring our donors' generosity, and we honestly don't know what happened at the other facility. The final analysis was their board of directors determined that they could not go on, and they determined to file bankruptcy and dissolve the organization. So, you know, what we do in this particular case, thanks to the support from our board members and our donors, is we're stepping in here to assist these animals to make sure that there's a good quality outcome for them.
Do you have a steady stream of phone calls asking to place animals? Are you going to, even though you've got more than 500 right now, what's to keep that number from going to 1,000?
Well, we have to be choosy. That's one thing. You know, it's sad to say that we generally require funding to take in a monkey unless it's an absolute emergency. There's a couple of parts to the answer. One is that we don't receive a steady stream. It's probably 1 to 2 a month, and then 1 month we'll have 8 calls, and then the next month we might have just 1 call. And, of course, the wild animal orphanage situation with those primates is a unique situation. But, you know, it's also very important that we don't overpopulate here, that we can provide for the animals that we currently have. Rescuing one animal while making the ones here uncomfortable and reducing their space and their quality of life to rescue another animal is not a good solution either. And really what we're hoping is that as people become more and more enlightened about what happens with these animals, how these, especially these primates, are stolen from their mother at a couple of days old, screaming, completely psychologically disoriented and severely damaged, that they'll simply stop buying them. And I can assure everyone out there that if they stop buying these exotic pets, the breeders will stop breeding them.
After the break, more from Born Free USA Primate Sanctuary. You're listening to Animals Today.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
At Quicken Loans, we close many of our home loans in 30 days or less. But if you work with someone other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with a lender that takes a lot longer. Here's an analogy. I ordered a pizza 4 hours ago that should have arrived in 30 minutes or less. Think of my cold, unappetizing pizza as a mortgage from a lender that doesn't care about closing loans quickly.
Here's your pizza, dude.
You should have been here a lot sooner.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
The choice is clear. A mortgage from a lender that takes forever to close your loan, or a piping hot mortgage from Quicken Loans that arrives fresh at your door in as quick as 30 days or less. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Grainger, the best resource for all your industrial supply needs, offers a service called KeepStock, which helps businesses manage inventory, making it much easier to know what you have and quickly order what you need. They can help you put a method to the madness of tracking, organizing, and ordering any size inventory, turning even the most intimidating storage space into an easy-to-maintain supply paradise. To find out more, visit Grainger.com/KeepStock. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Once again, I'm bouncing around.
here with Tim Ajax, and we've moved to a new section of the sanctuary, and we are in front of what looks to be a huge enclosure. Tim, what are we looking at here?
Well, this is an enclosure we refer to as the Northwest Enclosure because of the physical location on the property. And this enclosure houses 132 snow monkeys and one rhesus macaque that we were able to integrate in with this naturalized troop. And so this enclosure has been denuded fairly heavily. Snow monkeys are natural bark strippers, and so they've done a number on the trees here. So as they continue to denude the trees, we continue to have to build more structures in here to accommodate their playful activity.
And what strikes me is that it's a wide open space, it's big, and they're just walking around or sitting around in a very calm fashion.
Well, for the most part, that's what they spend their day doing. They normally feed twice a day. They'll browse at other times also, but primary feeding takes place twice a day in the morning and in the evening. And then the rest of their days, they either spend fighting, playing, or sitting in quiet groups grooming, which is what you see right now. And so they'll expend energy very quickly, and then they'll settle back down and relax. And this is what monkeys normally do. Monkeys normally don't spend the whole day screaming and pacing and turning circles and all of those things that we see that are part of captivity and primates that have been raised for a trade.
Which naturally leads to the question, are these animals happy?
Well, judging by their behavior, they can't come up to us and tell us one way or the other. So, our tools to determine their quality of life are their behavior. And for these animals, yes, we think they have a very high quality of life. And part of that quality of life for a monkey involves socialization. Snow monkeys are a predominantly a matriarchal society. So you'll have groups of females that are all related. And that forms their natural orientation and natural center of behavior and function and grooming. And then you have the males who will come in and form consortships with individual females. So it's really a complex social environment. And when these animals are denied that, when animals are kept in small cages for whatever reason, then it really, they suffer psychologically. And this is traditionally when you start seeing that stereotypic behavior that we were talking about earlier.
That's right. They look downright relaxed, if I have to say. Here's one coming up to the cage just looking at us. Well, maybe kind of. It's really quite remarkable and so different than one might see at a zoo, for instance.
Well, these guys are really curious. And, I mean, that's one of the things that's inherent in a primate, and especially a monkey. We're all curious, too. And these guys are exceptionally so. And so they'll come up. Now, they have their own way of approaching, and generally they won't look you straight in the eyes the way humans do. That's kind of a threatening, posture or behavior for monkeys. But they'll come up and watch everything we do. And if we're in there making a repair or we're cleaning, we'll find them right behind us looking at us, watching intently. I don't know that they're trying to figure out what we're doing, but they certainly seem to be enjoying watching.
So we've moved over to a different area. Tim, where are we now?
Well, this is a baboon enclosure. This is a 2.5-acre natural enclosure.
And what are we seeing here?
Well, what we're looking at right now are two Hamadryas, male Hamadryas baboons, and one olive baboon. And they're out here relaxing. This is midday. This is the time that they sit and socialize and groom. And as you can see, this is well populated with trees and different types of plants out here. And they get to live a fairly natural life here.
Where do the baboons come from? Is it different than the macaques?
No, most of the baboons here come from research facilities, and then a few, believe it or not, were pets. And why someone would keep a pet that has canines the size of a leopard's, I'm not sure, and mix that with the intelligence of a primate, and you have a real recipe for disaster.
So let's just briefly review. There are the three main sources or classifications of animals that come to you. Can you describe where primates come from?
Well, most of the primates that we receive, in fact, all of the primates that we receive in terms of rescue are all captive bred here in the United States. So the first place that they will come from is from what we call the pet trade. And this is an environment where some breeder has a USDA license and decides they want to breed primates and sell them. Well, unfortunately, these primates are bred. The babies are literally stolen from their mothers at only a few days of age. Normally that requires sedating the mother. She doesn't come up and leave her baby hanging around. And the babies are completely attached to the mother. They're hanging on for dear life, and they literally have to be pried off of the mother. And then they're fed substitute formula, which, of course, is never as good as the mother's natural milk, and they're highly traumatized. And they never get the full tactile 24 hours a day security that they would get from their mother, nor do they get any of the socialization that they would get in a normal troop. So they become very anxious, very disabled, and they cling constantly to the new owners. And in fact, there's been recent practice of breeders actually keeping them in total isolation, that so that when a prospective buyer comes along, that baby will latch on to the buyer. And of course, the buyers generally have no idea what's going on. They're thinking they're getting a wonderful little surrogate child or a little monkey, and really what they're getting is an abused animal. And you know, from there, it only gets worse. And the baby's taken home. They're treated like a little human infant, but they're not a human infant. And then they become destructive, and so they're locked in a little cage. And all these things that they need to explore and touch and taste and all the things that they do as they continue their development, as they mature, they tend to turn violent. And at that point, the people are forced to get rid of them.
It's completely predictable, isn't it?
It is. There are a few, for one reason or another, that end up being docile in captivity in a pet environment, but for the most part, everyone who partakes in this ends up having a problem. And of course, you know, a monkey alone in a cage or with a human is no life for a monkey. And then I guess the next category would be from the entertainment industry, which includes roadside zoos. And again, these animals are typically held in substandard enclosures. They don't have contact with other primates. And they become very bored, agitated, and of course boredom and agitation leads to all kinds of problems with them. Stereotypic behavior, spinning, twisting, pacing, excessive human socialization where they want to constantly involve themselves with human behavior. And all of those things lead to a very poor quality of life for them. And then of course there's those animals that come from research. And you know, it's been an interesting phenomenon that with us that we've noticed that the animals that come from research, for whatever reason, despite them living in very small caging, generally acclimate better. And we think one of the reasons is, even in a cage in a large room, there are other primates. So they've had this opportunity to visualize and see each other across the way and practice all these different postures and facial expressions and language. So they've got a real jump start over the entertainment or roadside zoo animals and the ex-pet animals. But they also have some of their own problems. You know, again, confinement is a horrible thing for a primate. And we don't like confinement. In fact, it's one of the ways that we punish people is with confinement. So, you know, again, what we would hope is that keeping any of these wild animals as pets, and especially primates, and keeping them in captivity, someday we hope it just ends, that there's no longer a need to and no longer a justification to.
Stay with us as we continue our behind-the-scenes tour of the Born Free USA Primate Sanctuary with Tim Ajax.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
At Quicken Loans, we provide you with state-of-the-art online tools, like our app for your smartphone, MyQL Mobile. This means that if you work with a mortgage lender other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with someone who doesn't use state-of-the-art online tools. Let me demonstrate. Can I upload my mortgage documents with your mobile app?
No, sorry. We don't offer mobile apps. I didn't realize appetizers were mobile.
Are you using a typewriter?
Why, yes, I am. We just upgraded from Carrier Pigeon.
So I take it you don't offer your clients the latest and greatest technology.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
Industry-leading tools like MyQL Mobile to get you through your loan process with speed and ease. One more way Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.875%. APR, 4.17%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. Nationwide licensing number 3030.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EBs sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition. Better eggs.
Chapstick asks, do you use Chapstick Lip Shield 365 in sand or snow?
Hi, I'm Sandy Sanderson, and I just love the sand. Quicksand, ampersands, sandalwood scented candles. And I wear Chapstick Lip Shield 365 to keep my lips protected from the sun year-round. My boyfriend here also wears it.
Yeah, I'm Sleety McNipperson, and I like snow. Snow tires, snow peas, snow leopards, snow
crabs. Are you sand or snow? Either way, new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 has you covered. And have your say at facebook.com/chapstick.
So here you are, stuck in rush hour traffic, thinking about your back pain. You know, if you'd used a Thermacare heat wrap this morning, it would still be working. That's because Thermacare is the only wrap with patented heat cells that penetrate deep to relax, soothe, and unlock tight muscles for up to 16 hours of relief. That's 8 hours while you wear it, and 8 more even after it's off. Can your patch say that? And you? You'd be sitting pretty all the way home. For up to 16 hours of back pain relief, try Thermacare. Use as directed.
Have you ever dreamed of being your own boss? Of having your own business? Of calling the shots instead of taking them? If you have, now's the time to call Guidant Financial. They can show you how to purchase a business or franchise without getting a bank loan, without the risk of using your home as personal collateral, and without the insecurity that comes along with relying on anyone else besides yourself to be in control of your future. If you have more than $50,000 in your 401k, IRA, or other retirement funds, Guidant can show you how to invest that money directly into a business or franchise without taking a taxable distribution. We've helped thousands of entrepreneurs, just like you, become small business owners. You could have your own business up and running in no time. Now that's a dream come true.
Call Guidant Financial now for free information, 800-430-6692, 800-430-6692. That's 800-430-6692.
Welcome back to Animals Today. This is Dr. Peter Spiegel. You've been listening to our behind-the-scenes tour of the Born Free USA Primate Sanctuary with director Tim Ajax. And what an amazing visit we had back there. Now, you can't visit this sanctuary. It's closed to the public. But Tim opened it up for us so you can learn about what they're doing down in South Texas.
Actually, for you.
For me.
I wasn't able to join you. Really disappointed. I had to hold down the fort here back in Palm Springs, California, but it really does sound like an amazing place, and what great work they're doing there.
They're doing great work, and the place is focused about the animals, as Tim states.
So you are listening to Animals Today, and this is your home for serious talk about animals, and we broadcast from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday. You can listen live on the Internet during the live show by going to the website, animalstodayradio.com, and clicking the Listen Live button. And if you want to receive a weekly show information and important updates about animals, you can subscribe to the Animals Today email list right there on the website, animalstodayradio.com. And listen, Animals Today, we archive all our previous shows, so you can listen anytime by going to the website. And follow me on Twitter. Okay, Peter, let's get back to your wonderful interview with Tim Ajax at Born Free.
Now we've moved to yet another area, and we are literally surrounded with macaques. Where are we now, and why are they surrounding us?
Well, they're surrounding us, Peter, because we have the goods. They enjoy peanuts, and we give them a treat every now and then. We're in the main enclosure, and this enclosure is 56 acres in size, and it's all natural South Texas brush, and this is where these snow monkeys live in a very natural, normalized state.
And you were describing to me evidence of the hierarchy. What were we seeing there?
Well, we were tossing some peanuts about and watching who goes to the peanut first. And we were seeing some monkeys waiting to their turn, and while others went and grabbed the peanut. And we even saw one monkey chase another monkey off. No physical contact. It was all about, I'm here, I'm higher ranking than you are. And, of course, the others submitted. And one of the other things that becomes important with this is here they have a lot of room to escape. So aggression, a full-fledged aggression, is very rare in a normal environment like this because there's plenty of room to escape. Now, in a captive environment, if they can't escape, there's no alternative but to turn and fight or to get beat up. And it's just one more reason that these animals shouldn't be confined in small areas.
Now, I've never been so close to a live monkey, I think. Any monkey. Can I become sick from being so close to an animal like this?
No, there's only a few diseases, and one of them, unfortunately, is deadly with the macaque species, and that's the herpes B virus. But that requires some kind of what we call an exposure, which means a bite or a scratch where their body fluids have transmitted to you, and they also have to have been actually shedding the virus at that point. And, of course, we're very experienced with the details of how to respond to that. We have a complete protocol, so if someone's bitten or scratched, which hasn't happened in ages, we have a strict protocol to follow, which the first thing to do is clean out the wound thoroughly. This is an anaerobic virus similar to rabies, so if you get to it really quickly, get it cleaned out, then you're most likely not going to be infected, even if the animal is shedding. Then, of course, there's other diseases that we can catch similar to working with any animal, including dogs and cats. You know, these guys can get hookworms, roundworms that we're susceptible to also. But in general, working around them is actually very safe.
Do they require any particular veterinary care or ongoing health attention?
Not generally. These guys are extremely hardy animals, and they're... We have to remember that they're living in a relatively stress-free environment. When they become stressed, when any wild animal becomes stressed and are kept, for instance, by keeping in small confined areas, then that negatively influences their immune system. So there's really no routine maintenance for these free-roaming monkeys here. Now, some of the ones that have to be kept in smaller enclosures because of their psychological problems, then we do have to periodically do warming and so on. But generally, they're fairly trouble-free, again, if they're kept in a normal environment.
Tim, tell us a little bit about their diet. What do they like to eat, and what's the process of keeping everyone well-fed?
A lot of money, first of all. It's an expensive proposition to feed these animals, and our current budget is over $120,000 a year just for their food. They eat a wide variety of things, plant material mostly. Occasionally, if they can get hold of a small bird or an egg, they'll do so. But it's all opportunistic. They're almost entirely plant, seed, root eaters. And, you know, there's certain plants that come into season and bloom and bear fruit out here in the enclosure, and they'll eat those. And then daily, we also feed them a commercial monkey ration. It's a complete diet. And then we supplement that with fresh fruit and produce that comes from out of San Antonio. And every Wednesday we get a truck in, and we get anywhere from 8 to 16, 20,000 pounds of produce that we unload, and that lasts them throughout the week. And of course we have to pay for that.
Yes.
So it being Valentine's Day, be a wonderful gift to go ahead and help us out with some of this produce. And you can do that online by going to our website.
Tim, you are anticipating the arrival of more than 100 animals from Wild Animal Orphanage, also south of San Antonio. What are you doing to get ready for them?
Well, we've gone out and we've taken several bids in, and we're hiring contractors to come in and build the enclosures. Traditionally, we like to do a lot of the work in-house because it saves a lot of money, but we're so busy with the animals, and this is such a big project, we really need to bring somebody in from the outside and turnkey it and let them handle the construction. So our focus for these new animals, they're already in groups of 8 to 10, and so they're already familiar with each other, the monkeys that is, within these groups. And what our plan is to build multiple quarter-acre open-top enclosures where they'll have open sky and trees in the center of their enclosure and just have a really good large-scale quality of life.
So it's not that difficult to create an enclosure that they won't just simply climb out of. There are ways to handle that.
Yeah, we've got that procedure down. We've made multiple modifications over the years, and we've come up with a very good design that keeps them in place, keeps them safe, and allows them to have a very large open area. And for them, that's where the quality of life comes into, as much space as we can give them.
Tim, what kind of staffing does it take to keep a place like this running?
Well, currently we have 4 full-time staff members. 2 of us live here on property, and then we have 2 people who work Monday through Friday, 8 hours a day, doing nothing but animal caretaking.
And I will add, we are definitely in rural America here. There's not a whole lot around.
That's right, and we kind of like it that way. This is good for the monkeys. It's quiet, and as you know, we're not open to the public. And one of the reasons we're not open to the public is, first of all, out of respect for the animals. These monkeys are not on show. They're not on display here. And we want to provide a good quality of life for them. That's our focus. And frankly, inviting the public out to see them, on one hand, sounds like a nice idea. But on the other hand, it requires incredible amount of resources to make sure they're monitored, to make sure they're safe, to, you know, all the things that are involved with that. But primarily, our focus is the animals. And so what we do is, rather than try to generate revenue from ticket sales, we encourage people to donate online, to kind of be our virtual partner. And frankly, we can't do that work. We can't do this work without their assistance, without their help.
And so when someone goes online or becomes aware of what you're doing there, what are some of the messages you want them to come away with?
Well, I think the first message we want them to come away with is respect for all wildlife everywhere, and especially our slogan, which is wildlife belongs in the wild. And second of all, the message of compassion. And that compassion extends not just to the animals we care for, but animals everywhere and people too. You know, it's all part of the same message. And that's what we would like them to go away with. And we also want them to understand that their donations are being respected. We run a very tight ship here, and we take those donations very seriously. They mean a lot to us, and we make sure they're put to very good use for the animals' benefit, and that's our focus.
Tim Ajax, we were with Tim Ajax in his wonderful primate sanctuary, Born Free USA Primate Sanctuary, down here south of San Antonio. Please visit them online and show them your support. Where do they go again?
They go to www.bornfreeusa.org/sanctuary.
Tim, thank you very much for allowing me to visit your wonderful place here.
No, thank you so much for coming, Peter. I enjoyed it very much.
So, Peter, were you actually able to make contact and touch the primates there?
You know, it was quite an experience. I was surrounded by at least a couple of dozen at one point of these monkeys. They're curious.
Yeah.
They stand their distance a little bit. At one point, Tim was feeding them peanuts, I think you heard. And one of them, when I wasn't looking, ran up to me and sort of tagged me on the leg and then ran away as if this monkey wanted to play. I don't know who did it, and it happened so fast. And it was like a friendly play gesture.
Oh,
it was really sweet, actually.
That's so nice. And you weren't scared?
I'm a city boy. I was a little freaked out, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
It was a little strange.
Yeah.
But it was delightful and so real. And they were so normal appearing and comfortable.
And so unlike when you see monkeys in captivity, right?
That's right. As Tim stated, you don't see these nervous, stereotypical behaviors. They're
right.
They're just doing their normal thing. Obeying their hierarchy.
Wow.
And just being monkeys, which is what the place is focused on.
Sounds great. Okay, don't go away. We have Peter in the news right next on Animals Today.
Every little bird in the tall old tree. The wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of the helming, singing bow.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org. That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
One thing I've learned on my journey to help save people money on car insurance is that folks across the country like convenience. And what could be more convenient than visiting Geico.com? We can manage your policy, pay your bill online, just about anything you need. And it's open 24/7. It's kind of like popping into the ultimate convenience store, except we save people money. And we don't have beef jerky.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-684-2260. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try better than ever Proactive solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial. plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-684-2260. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus two free extras. Call 1-800-684-2260. 1-800-684-2260. That's 1-800-684-2260.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirschner, and we're here with Peter Stiegel and the news. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
What's going on these days in the news?
Well, let me ask you, do you know who Yao Ming is?
Yes, I do. He's a basketball player.
He is. He's now retired. He was quite a figure.
You always do that to me. You think I don't know my sports figures.
Yes, I do that.
Okay.
I'm going to continue testing you. Anyway, he is now teamed up with one of our favorite groups in the whole world, Animals Asia.
Yeah.
And he's been in China supporting some of their campaigns, particularly against the bear bile farming.
That's so nice.
And he also has been campaigning against shark fin soup.
Yeah.
Because they are still killing an estimated 1.5 million sharks per week to make shark fin soup. And, of course, that's just a horrible thing if you're a shark.
Right.
So thank you to Yao Ming and Animals Asia. They have really made a difference in animal welfare in China and in the Southeast Asia.
And it's so great when a celebrity figure or sports figure gets involved like that. It really makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yes. It used to puzzle me as to why we needed celebrities to help these causes.
Well,
but it's a fact of life.
Right.
And when they take their time and effort and go out there, it really does attract people.
Right.
So good for them.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're afraid of spiders, it turns out, you know, a lot of people, one of the most common phobias or the most common animal phobia?
Yeah, snakes and spiders.
Okay. Well, it turns out if you're afraid of spiders, they are perceived to be bigger to you than they actually are.
Right.
And this was based upon a study where they got a bunch of phobic people. And they got them close to the spiders as part of their treatment, right? And they had to estimate how big they thought the spiders were compared to a person who's not particularly scared of spiders, and they think they're just huge.
They were as big as a car.
Yeah. So it just is.
So what did they say?
So they say that part of the information that the therapist can utilize is to explain that, no, you're really misinterpreting the size of this spider and sort of get real.
Yeah.
But this is part of exposure therapy. It's become pretty popular for lots of phobias,
right.
And you just gradually get people closer and closer to their feared object, whether it's a snake or whatever.
Yeah.
And they can really change things around in a short amount of time. And I'll just tell you as an aside that there are many people with deep phobias about all sorts of things.
Oh, I know.
And it wrecks their lives.
I know.
Wrecks their life. They just can't. It's just not like a separate thing in their psyche that they can set aside. It's always on their mind. So don't let the spiders bug you.
Yeah, you know what? When I was living in Tucson several years ago, I did come across a huge, huge tarantula.
Yes.
And I just let out this blood-curdling scream. And thinking back, this was, 25 years ago? Thinking back, I remember one of my neighbors, he was so sweet. He heard my horrible scream, and he came out with his tennis racket and just gently put the spider on his racket because it was right by my door, and he let it out in the open desert. But, yes, I remember back then it was like as big as my racket. I'm sure it wasn't that big, but I do think it was big as my racket.
Right. Isn't that amazing? So, I know.
And so what do you call the fear of reptiles and anything that crawls?
Oh, boy. Oh, I don't know what.
Herpetophobia.
Okay.
Okay. And then the fear of spiders is?
Arachnophobia.
Yeah, very, very good. Mm-hmm. So now this is what I read in Psychology Today, that most people assume that it takes some rather traumatic event to develop a specific phobia of anything, right? Like I was attacked by a pit bull when I was 7 years old, and now I fear dogs. Or my brother put spiders on my face when I was sleeping when I was a kid, and now I fear spiders. This is really true.
You fear your brother.
That's right. Well, I do. But now this is really true only in a minority of cases. Mm. And in fact, most phobias develop after years of experience with the situation or object or animal. I also read there might be a genetic predisposition for many people to experience anxiety of or fear coupled with an environmental event that triggers the underlying tendency to be anxious or fearful of things. And they gave one example where, you know, where a parent might say, okay, stay away from Mr. Jones's dog because he could bite your face off. You know, that's a perfect opportunity to eventually develop a full-blown phobia. So it's a psychological vulnerability that might be involved to develop these phobias. So anyway, that's...
They're common, these animal
They're common.
Phobias.
You know, most people, I also read that they rarely seek treatment for animal phobias. They just tend to avoid the fear, like just don't go around the spiders or don't go around the dogs. And it's usually associated with other things people seek treatment for, like OCD and depression and panic disorders are the real common psychiatric disorders that are sought treatment for.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to change the subject and give you a couple more little bites here. One is the big news from Britain is that it looks pretty certain that they're going to be banning the use of wild animals in traveling circuses.
Oh.
And this has gotten a real serious look in their parliament, and in probably by 2015.
Great news.
This is going to happen.
Wow.
And so hopefully it'll percolate across the sea to us here.
Yeah.
And then finally, great
news. It usually does.
Yes.
They usually do start out with these great bans and prohibitions, and then it comes to us.
Yeah.
Or we'll follow.
We'll see if our legislators can withstand the onslaught from the big circuses in the States.
Yeah.
I think they'll be able to. And interesting research about dolphin communication.
Mm-hmm.
Dolphins have a language that we're learning more and more about, including special signature whistles, as if they're able to speak specifically to one another and also say, not just, I'm here and I'm a dolphin and I'm making a noise. It's just, I'm here and I'm so-and-so and hello.
That is the coolest thing.
Isn't that interesting? So those dolphins have a special intelligence that we are only coming to appreciate, and they're certainly smarter than most people think. We know they're smart, but they've got a special and hard to understand intelligence, different than ours.
Yeah.
And it's just an amazing mystery that's unraveling.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to stop exploiting them.
Indeed.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter.
Yes.
And really great, great interview with Tim Ajax.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.com.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell. Syria again comes in for strong criticism at the United Nations. Correspondent Warren Levinson has more.
Secretary General Ban Ki-moon demanded that the Syrian government open the country to humanitarian assistance. Ban spoke before